Good to be in the house of God. Amen. Hope you don't mind. I went ahead and jerked that tie off. It is the pollen season. And just help me get that out of the way, and then I won't have to be dealing with it. That's just something. I think sometimes the devil grabs a hold of that thing. By the time I get up here, and he just yanks it and chokes me. So we don't want to let him have that this morning. We're going to get into the Word of God. We're going to be reading in the book of Luke, chapter number 12. And I believe I've got what God wants me to share with you this morning. I'm just going to do the very best I can to follow Him. I'll tell you what I believe. I believe that it's only important what He wants. What you and I want doesn't mean anything. Many times I've had to stand and, you know, all I really want is God to have His way, to give me exactly what He wants. And then be obedient to Him and follow Him and get out of the way and let Him do what He can do. You know, without the Holy Spirit being present, everything we do is vain. You know, without the Holy Spirit being present, it's like a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. But when God comes on the scene, what God has the tendency to do and the ability to do is go person to person, place to place, and speak to hearts and to actually take His finger and let people realize exactly where they are in their relationship with Him. And that's not me. That's Him this morning. So we want to give Him all the glory. You got your Bible in Luke chapter number 12. This is the parable of the rich fool. And I want to read this scripture. And here's the title this morning of the message. Is a life of nothingness. And you can say, well, what does that mean? I'm going to do my best to help you understand. You know, you can live your whole life and you can have everything in this world, but if you live it without God, you've lived it in vain. And, you know, it's going to end. The Bible plainly tells us that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. One thing's certain, they say, well, you know, I've heard people say, well, two things are certain. You know, you're going to die one day, and you're going to pay taxes. Well, let me tell you, you can get out of paying taxes. But unless the Lord comes back, unless He calls you up like He did Enoch or like He did Elijah, one day you got an appointment and you're going to stand before God and there's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing you can do to change it. And there's nothing you can do to stop it. You know, sometimes I don't like it. We were standing out in the foyer this morning. They said, how you doing? Brother Ted, he's got to wear when I ask him that. He said, well, I'm just in my prime. I said, I'd be in my prime if I could get this replaced, and I could get that replaced, and I could get this replaced. But I want to tell you something this morning. This body, it wasn't meant to last forever. One day we're going to lay it down. We're going to take up a new body. The Bible says one likened to Christ. Amen? But so many people go through life, and they're just like this parable here, this rich fool. Let's read this scripture beginning in the 13th verse. It says, and one of the company said unto him, Master, speaking to Jesus, speak to my brother that he may divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, man, who hath made me to be a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns, and I will build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Now this is a parable that Jesus spake when a man came to him, and I want you to see this, as Jesus is there, and he's teaching, and someone comes to him, and it's like this, and no doubt all of us, we may have even experienced this firsthand, but we've heard it. He said, speak to my brother, that he may divide the inheritance with me. You know how to divide brothers and sisters? Let mom and daddy pass away and have wealth. Okay? I had a lady I worked with one time. She said that she come from a very wealthy family. She said, but somehow her brother ended up being the executor of their estate, of her mother and daddy. And she said he took everything that they had. And she said, all our lives, my husband and I have had to scrape to get by. We've been able to work whatever jobs we could work. And this lady was past retirement age but couldn't retire. And she told me, she said, I wasn't always poor. She said, but a family member took everything that I had away from me. But she stopped right there and she began to testify. She said, but you know, I've reached out to my brother. I've tried to tell him about Jesus. I've tried to tell him about my relationship with God. She said, don't feel sorry for me. She said, I've got a home in heaven waiting for me. I've lived my life to honor God. My children are all saved and my husband is saved. And God has been rich in my life. You know, sometimes we put our level of importance on the wrong things. Now, folks, there's nothing wrong with stuff. We need y'all to have stuff so God can use your blessings to be our blessings. Amen? Now, here's the man come to Jesus, and he said, speak to my brother. And then Jesus speaks to him and said, who made me to be a judge over you? Now, here's what I want you to understand. He is the judge. He is the king. But he didn't come for that. He said, I didn't come to be a judge in this manner. And here's what I want you to understand. This is not what Christ Jesus came into the world to do. There's so many times that we want to use the Lord. I've heard people even say it this way. I just wish I could pray that God would do so and so to them. Be careful how you pray. Bible says this, pray for your enemies. And in so doing, you'll heap coals of fire upon their head. But sometimes people want to pray, God, get them. That's the way this man was. Jesus said, that's not what I came for. And then he began to tell them some things that were important. He speaks in the 15th verse and he says, beware of covetousness. You know, so many times people, they get their eyes on this world, and if you're not careful, it'll separate you from God. There's nothing wrong with having stuff, but you got to be careful that your stuff don't keep you from being what God wants you to be. I heard a story yesterday, a man was telling me, and I talked to him about this. I said, how many times in our lives, and I want you to think about this, church, have you seen God call a man into the ministry and actually get on that man and show the evidence of the calling and him fulfill that calling? Now think about it. We've seen a lot of people say, God called me, but how many people have you seen be obedient, get in the pulpit and have the anointing of the Holy Spirit on them when they preach? I'll tell you, not many. You know why? Because we're living in the last days. I'm going to have to move on. I got so much to preach this morning. But I want to tell you something. We're living in the times, if God's got a God-called man and he's in your midst, you better get behind him and support him. Quit complaining. Quit moaning and groaning and get behind him and let him be what God called him to be. You know why? Because God is not calling many. Why? Because the devil's on a rampage. They told me a story of a man. They said, I have seen a man. They told me a story of a man that God called, and they said, that man, soon as he announced his calling to preach the next Sunday, they put him in the pulpit. They said he preached all over the house. They said when he came by, you could feel the Holy Spirit jumping all over him. They said, but there was one problem with this man. He was very, very wealthy. They said he was involved with trading diamonds in South Africa. And when you do business with other countries, here's sometimes what the problem can be. You got to be careful that you're ethical. We got all kind of rules that we have to go by when we're doing business internationally at the company that I work for. But they said he got over there and he got to trading diamonds and he got to doing some things underhanded. You know, sometimes we think, oh, a little bit will be all right. It's all right till you get caught. And when he got caught, he went to jail. And you know what happened? His ministry that God had called him to, it went down and down and down because the Bible says, beware of covetousness. But that's where people get. You see, I've seen men be called to preach, get in a church, church start doing good. They begin to act like they're some kind of a dictator, some type of a power figure, and it becomes more about money than it is about seeing people saved. It's more about what can we get, what can we do, what can we build. I want to tell you, everything here at Hiram First Baptist Church, it belongs to God, but we're going to keep it that way. God is first. He said, a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things that he does possess. See, life is more than stuff. The verse over in Proverbs where he said this, along these lines, he said, "Feed me neither with poverty nor with riches, lest I be hungry and steal, or lest I be full and forget my God." See, God knows what we can handle. God knows what I can handle. He knows how much to bless me, and he knows whether or not if I get that promotion at work, it's going to change my character. You ever seen anybody like that? I'm going to get to the message in a minute. This is the introduction. You ever seen anybody like that? You know, you work with them for years, and they get a promotion at work, and it turns them into some kind of green-eyed monster. You think, what happened to them? There's some people just don't need authority, right? You see, but that's what it does to people. And here's what Jesus begins to tell them. Now, a parable is a story, but it has a spiritual meaning. And he gives them this parable and this story, and he tells them about the ground of a certain rich man. It brought forth plentifully. In other words, he was blessed. You know, he would go out there. You know how sometimes you can work and work and work, and you pray for the rain to come, and rather than the rain, you have a drought. And you go out there and the ground's cracking open and you wonder why in the world it's not going like it's supposed to. And you say, God, I've done everything that I'm supposed to do. And I've tried, I've prayed, but sometimes it doesn't always go that way. This man went out and he looked at the crop and it was growing. And he said, it's almost like everything that he touched, it turned to gold. And he thought, well, I tell you what I'm going to do. I've got so much, I'm just going to tear my barns down and I'm going to build some bigger ones. You know the room in houses, when you go and meet with a builder now, you know what room keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger is the closets. Oh, yeah. I went to some of these houses and looked at them. My dad was a house painter, and we painted these big houses all around Buckhead and all these different places. And I can remember going in the house, and here's the bedroom, the master bedroom. You go off over here, and there's her closet. You go off over here, and that's his closet. Now, folks, I'm going to have to tell you something. I'm guilty, okay? I'm guilty. I got more stuff. You know, when I die, there's not going to be no U-Haul following the hearse. This man said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear my barns down. I'm going to build bigger barns. Every man needs a barn, right? And then he says this, though. I'm going to lay up all these goods. And this is where people get it wrong. He said, I'm going to say to my soul, I'm just going to enjoy everything I got today, tomorrow, next week, next year. And I'm just keep on living and doing what I'm enjoying doing. And I've got all this stuff. You know, I've spent my whole life building this 401k. And I'm just going to do what I want to do. It's my life. I'll live it the way that I want to live it. And then God said, this is your last day on earth. Have you lived your life? See, those who are rich towards self, they often have possessions, they have status, they have fame, they have self-satisfaction. You ever seen those bumper stickers? He who dies with the most toys wins. I got plenty of toys. But I tell you what, I've already had a conversation with my wife. I said, when I'm gone, you're going to have to get Brother Ted or Brother Terry over here. You're going to have to let him go through all this stuff and help you get rid of it because you ain't going to want to do nothing with it. I have people come in my house and they look at my wife and they say, you must love him. He's got 9 deer heads on the wall. You know, it's not done wrong. It's okay to have the stuff. Brother Tommy, it's okay to have 3 sets of golf clubs. 4. It's okay that your shoes and your socks and your hat match when you play. Ladies, it's okay to have 100 pairs of shoes. I know your husband doesn't like it, but it's okay. He's got his stuff, right? Hey, guys, it's okay to have a jacked up truck. I know y'all like that. And I know you girls like to shop. And that's okay. As long as the things that you have are not between you and God.
Amen.
You see, God has to be first, and He wants to be first. And here's what I want you to see, and I want you to understand as we look at this scripture. I want to give you just a few things on those who live a life of nothingness. Here's some things I want you to see. Those kind of people, they don't have the right relationship with God. They are without convictions. You see, when you get around them, I and my are their favorite words. You ever been around somebody they love to tell you about themselves? I can't stand to go to these kind of meetings to where you get around men, especially men you don't know. Because first thing they want to do is ask you what you do at your job. I've even had them get right down to ask you, well, how much money you make? And they won't tell you what they made last year. I and my are their favorite words, and they are, the scripture calls them in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 4, they are lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And because the things of the world are the most important thing in their life, they are going to live their life that way. And that's why homes are broken up. That's why there's trouble. That's why there's heartache. Because people don't have God in the right place in their life. You know, when you get around these kind of people, and I've seen it. My wife and I have had these kind of conversations. I tell you what this kind of man will do. This is the kind of man that will leave his wife after 25 years of marriage and commitment and trade it in on a younger model because his heart is not right with God. Because he's placed his emphasis in the wrong place and on the wrong things. You know, when we get right with God, we're going to be willing sometimes to suffer to be in obedience with a master. People don't want to hear that. They don't want to be a part of that. But what they want to do is have what I want, and I want what's mine. Okay? Now, I want to tell you something. You read in the book of Revelation, it talks about the seven church ages. We are living in the Laodicean church age. We're living in the age, and I want to read you just a couple of verses of scripture over there in Revelation chapter number 3 about that time. And here's what Jesus said to the Laodicean church. He said, I know thy works, that thou art neither hot nor cold. I would that thou wert hot or cold. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spew thee out of my mouth. He said, I'm not happy with that. I want everything. I want you, God says, and I want to be first in your life. And because you say that I am rich and I am increased with goods and had need of nothing, he said, but knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. He said, I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of not thy nakedness do not appear. Now, here's what I want us to understand. We're living in that age, and I want to tell you, if you've never studied this, the word Laodicea and what the Laodicean church means is it means civil rights. Have we ever been in a time to where people stand up and they want to talk about their rights? I want to tell you, as Christians, what we need to be prepared to do is be willing to humble ourselves in the presence of God, to suffer when we need to suffer, and to do it for the honor and glory of God, and lift Him up, and let Him be on the throne, and get off of it ourselves. You see, the man, and you say, well, the man will do that. Well, what will the woman do? I want to tell you something. The times that my wife and I have been working in Sunday school, I guess over the last 15 years, we have seen breakup after breakup. But, you know, maybe it's just on our side. And I know there's a guy somewhere. Okay, but we've seen one after another. See, a woman will leave her husband and her children looking for something else. And I've heard it said this way, I just need to find myself. Even seen them post on Facebook these remarks, don't be angry with me if I'm happy. Even had them come to me for counsel and they say, Pastor Joe or Brother Joe, I just believe that it's God's will for me to leave my husband and I'm not happy and I want to be happy. I tell you what we need to get right with God. And we need to recognize that if it's written in the Word of God, this is the instruction book, and the Holy Spirit is not going to lead you into anything that's contrary to what's written in this book. But they, those who live a life of nothingness, they live without conviction toward God. This person says, it's my business, it's my life, and I'll do what I want. And they hear a preacher like me and they just get angry. Well, folks, this is not my book. It's not my words. It belongs to Him. One day I'm going to stand before Him, and I was talking to a man last night, another preacher, and we were talking, and I said, you know, the ministry, it does not belong to the preacher. It belongs to God. The ministry does not belong to the church. It belongs to God. And if we don't be obedient and listen to the voice of God, I tell you, the worst thing that God could do would be to write Ichabod over the door and the Holy Spirit go out and nobody gets saved, nobody's life be right, nothing happened that God wants, but we need to humble ourselves before Him and surrender to Him. You see, they're without contentment also, without conviction, without contentment. Look at what it shows here. I will build greater barns. You see, one thing I've seen, and I've seen this in people, and I tell you what really got me thinking about this. Sometimes when I travel and sometimes I'm around people, I was around a man that is he's a billionaire. He's a billionaire. And sometimes I'm around those, and I mean, it's just like they've got so much that there's no way they could spend it ever. But they're not satisfied. You know, I once heard a man asked, and he was another billionaire. They said, well, how much would it take? How much do you have to make? And here was his answer, a little more. One time we had a financial study in a Sunday school class, and we were talking about it. And we went around the room, and we asked the question, how much would it take in your home? One guy said, $50 a week. How much would it take in your home? Another guy said, $100 a week. You know, sometimes people say $300 a week. And folks, I understand. I understand what it's like to struggle. I understand what it's like to have to work overtime just to pay your bills. But I want to tell you something. When we get to the point that the things of this world are more important to us than God, and it doesn't matter how much we have, we're not satisfied. We're missing it.
Amen.
Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness. And it said, be content with such things as you have. I want to tell you, the people that have been the greatest inspiration in my life are the people not didn't necessarily have a lot, but they had a lot with God. And I've been around men of God that knew the Lord. And of course, you know, I went to school. I went to Bible school and all that stuff. And I've been around professors. And I've been around people who had PhDs. But I tell you what taught me the most. One time I was around a preacher. He didn't even finish the eighth grade. And I was talking to him. And he would come into the house of God. And he would sit down. And when he was here, he just raised his hand and praised God. He was just thankful to be able to be here. He was one of those kind of people that when he was sick, he wanted to be here. When he was not able to come to the house of God, his heart burned to be in the house of God. He loved the Lord and he loved the things of God, and that was the most important thing in his life. He said, well, why is that important? I wish you could ask Billy Graham right now. He'd tell you. You know, they had an article about him in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, front page. Big deal for Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Till you start reading it and they say, if the things that Billy Graham believed were true, then he's in heaven today. Well, I want to tell you something, folks. If this Bible is true, the way that we live our life, it matters. Whether or not we live for God and put Him first, it matters. You see, we all have an appointment that we're going to stand before God. The problem with a person that lives a life of nothingness, you know, they're without convictions, they're without contentment. The more they have, the more they want. Their identity is often found, often, especially for men, is found in their work. So, sometimes when I'm around them and you say, well, don't feel sorry for me, I can't help it. When I'm around somebody and their absolute identity is in their job, I feel sorry for them. You see, I have a job to take care of my family, and I thank God for that job. And I'm going to work, and I'm going to do my best at that job. But my identity is not in my work. See, a person's identity, when it's found in their work, that defines them, and it is who they are. And this kind of person is the kind of person that loves titles. We've even had conversations lately trying to fill positions with a 4.1% unemployment rate, 2.1% in Wisconsin, that maybe if we change the titles and we make them more attractive, we can get people to come. And then they said this, do you know how people love titles? without contentment. They like to talk about their accomplishments. They like to talk about what they've been able to do. But the problem is this kind will betray you and your trust to get what they want. And the reason for that is because people is not what's most important to them. You see, if you love God, and it says it this way, the Lord told Peter, he said, if you love me, feed my sheep. If you love me, feed my lambs. Then he told him again, if you love me, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. Why? Because God loves you, and he wants you to be taken care of and cared for, and he wants me as a preacher to treat you right and to love you and to care for you. Young people, you're important to God. He wants us to tell you the truth and love you. Can I tell you that he wants you. He cares for you. You're important to God. Can you imagine Peter saying, but Lord, I don't like them. These people we don't like, right? They're still God's. You see, they're without convictions, they're without contentment, but they're without vision. See, here's what they think. They said, I have goods laid up for many years. Any person that is not planning for the future, I don't think is very wise, okay? So let's make sure of that. If you got a 401k, you probably need to be putting something in it. You're not necessarily going to be able to count on Social Security, especially if you're young, right? You got a plan to take care of it. Now, I understand that. But sometimes people get the mindset that's wrong and they get pointed in the wrong direction and they think that everything is just going to be exactly the way that I want it to be, and they forget the fact that they can't control their next breath. See, a person without vision does not recognize that God gives us the breath of life and God can take that breath away. You see, Jesus Christ spoke and said, this man is a fool. Because he thinks that everything he has is going to always be there and things are never going to change and he's always going to be able to, you know, it's kind of like this. I've heard people say, well, you know, I may become a Christian. I'm just going to wait till later. I'm going to wait till it's closer to the time for me to die. Heard a young lady one time, she was under conviction, and she spoke to the camp director there at camp, and she said, we're going next week to spring break. Can I just wait till we get back from spring break and then become a Christian? There's too many people with that mindset. I don't understand that, because all you're doing is missing something better than that. The world ain't got nothing to compare to God. See, not only do they not recognize that God gives us our very breath, but they do not recognize that someone else will get everything that they have. Have you ever thought about, who do I want to get my stuff? I told my wife, I said, I know this guy. And I said, when I'm gone, I don't want him getting nothing I got. I got some stuff down there in my safe. He knows it's in there. He's probably going to be, hey. I said, he can't have it. Somebody's going to get it. Somebody's going to get your stuff. Sometimes we ought to think about this. Maybe it's going to be somebody who will not honor God with it. See, I wouldn't want to leave anything to anybody if they're not going to honor God with it. You see, sometimes I was preaching one time to a youth group, and mamas and daddies got a little mad at me about this, but I said it this way, and young people, you need to understand this. I said, it's better to live a short life that honors God than it is a long life that dishonors God. Because our life, the Bible says, even if we live to be 100 years old, it's just a vapor. And what we do, we ought to do it for the honor and glory of the Lord. You see, this man, he had no vision because he was without God. You see, if you look at the latter part of these verses, in verse 20 and 21, it says, he was not rich toward God. See, he was without purpose. Not fulfilling the plan or the purpose that God has for you. That's without purpose. They do not glorify God with their life, and they are lost souls, because this life is all they have. I heard it said one time, a man who was a billionaire, Someone said something about feeling sorry for him, and he said, never feel sorry for a man with a plane. A man who owns a plane. But I tell you, somebody you can feel sorry for, it's any person that has placed all of their hope and all of their joy in the things of this world. Because what God has for us cannot compare to the greatest riches that this world has. You see, there's nothing wrong with wealth as long as we know where it came from and it does not come between us and God. And here's what I want us to understand. Sometimes God blesses you so you can bless others. If God's blessed you with a great voice to sing, it's so you can bless others. And I want the young people here, I don't know what God's calling is going to be on your life, but if God blesses you with ability, there may be a preacher sitting over there, there may be a missionary sitting over there, but when God blesses you, He blesses you so you can be a blessing to others. Let's not forget that when Jesus was on the cross and He died, there was a man who came and he begged the body of Jesus and he took him and he put him in a tomb where no man had ever laid. It took somebody who had the ability for that to happen. Sometimes God blesses us and brings us to a place just so we can be a blessing to others. That's the only reason we ever have it to start with. But what about when we get to that point? And that's all we have. I heard a story of a man who was an atheist and he had lived his life. He had traveled everywhere in the world that there was to travel. He had all the wealth, all the money, all the room service, everything that a person could possibly want. He was, you know, he fared sumptuously every day. But he wrote a note before he took his own life. And he said, I'm tired of trying to fill up every day with something. He said, I'm tired of trying to find things to make me happy. He said, I've done this, I've done this, I've done that. He said, I'm just tired of it. And it took his life. Why? Because he was not rich toward God. That's why it is written in 1 Timothy chapter 6, and Paul writes, he said, godliness with contentment is great gain. And Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 4, he said, I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. Why? Because he learned how to sit there in a right relationship with God. And folks, I want to tell you something. There's been times in my life when I had less, that the struggle wasn't as great. I didn't feel like the battle was as strong because I was just at peace with God. I can remember a time in my life when I was, before I even met my wife, I was living in LJ. I was driving 80 miles one way to work, and I made $7 an hour. I had a truck that burnt 4 quarts of oil a day. It was a mosquito-killing machine. And I can remember going through that time in my life. I had a relationship with somebody, and it went the wrong direction. You know why? Because it wasn't God's will. God had already called me to preach, and He let me know that it wasn't right. And even though it troubled me in my heart, I come to realize it's better to listen to God than it is to fight God. And I can remember thinking, as a young boy, as a young man, 18, 20 years old, I said, God, I don't think I'm ever going to have anything. But I had to come to the point in my life that I absolutely surrendered to God. And folks, I did it at a young age. I remember going down to Zion Hill Baptist Church and I went into the Sunday school room and I went back there during the middle of the day on a Sunday afternoon and I laid down prostrate on the carpet and I was already saved, but here's what I did. I surrendered to God. I said, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. If you want me to live in a tent by the river, as long as I'm at peace with you, that's what I'm going to do. If you ever bless me, if you ever bring anybody into my life, it'll just be you, but I surrender. I remember when I was 20, I thought, I am a hermit. I'm never going to get married. I didn't know, but I'll tell you what I had to do. I had to surrender to God. Can I tell you, God don't want your stuff. God don't want your golf clubs and your shoes. He don't want what's in your closet. I tell you what God wants. God wants you. God wants you to surrender to Him and let everything that He's blessed you with, that rather than saying, look what I've done, what He wants you to do is say, God, thank you for blessing me. Thank you for putting these things in my life. Thank you for the kindness that you've shown me. Rather than, look what I've done. It's thank you, God. We'll read one more place in Mark chapter number 8, verse number 34 to 36. Jesus speaking and says, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the name shall save it. The same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You know, when I begin to think about this in this lesson, and we're going to ask him to come get a verse of song in just a minute, I thought about this. And I thought about this man. Oh, he'd laugh at me if he knew that I honestly felt sorry for him. I mean, after all, he's a billionaire, right? Questions. Who wants to be the wealthiest person in hell? Who wants to be the most famous person in hell? Who wants to be the greatest general or conqueror in hell? Who wants to be the prettiest in hell? Who wants to be the handsomest in hell? Who wants to be the biggest liberal in hell? Who wants to be the proudest humanist in hell? Who wants to be the most defiant newscaster that makes fun of Christianity in hell? Who wants to be the most progressive politician in hell? See, I thank the Lord for what He's given me. Sometimes I'm amazed by it. I'm amazed by the way He's blessed me. I'm amazed that He loves me. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve my wife. I don't deserve my boys, my daughter. I come in here this morning, young people, and y'all were up here singing, and I was so proud of you. And I stood back there and I thought, Lord, I don't deserve to be able to work in this place. Do you deserve what God's given you? Have you given Him the glory for it? I want to ask you to rise to your feet. If God spoke to your heart, here's what I want you to understand. God doesn't want your stuff. God wants you. And He wants you to live your life honoring, glorifying Him. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, the altars of Hiram First Baptist Church are always open all the way across. You can come and pray. And when God does allow us to build a building and a church, He will. We're going to build a bigger altar. If God has spoke to you and you'd like to come, God's calling. You know what He's saying? He's saying, I want you. Would you come?